Kim K, Ray J, Clavicular, Whoopi Goldberg. No, this is not a nightmare of people you'd be trapped in an elevator with. It is today's episode of Better Call Sexton. You do not want to miss it. It's a full docket. But before we begin, consider it the price of admission for an amazing show. Hit like, subscribe, notification bell, all those things that helps the channel, which is getting danger close to 100,000 subscribers. Every second we get that much closer. And when it happens, it's going to be the most exciting thing you've ever seen. I mean, if you don't get out a lot. Anyway, full docket. Let's get after it.
All right, Jim, this is one that I've been wanting to hear from you on for a long time.
Oh, boy.
The Kim Kardashian-Ray J relationship.
Now, wow, that's a blast
from the past,
jam.
Baby. But it's back in the
that's
news.
That's like eight Kim Kardashian faces ago. You know what I mean? It's like a whole different person.
Shots fired.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Was it a secret? I didn't realize. Gosh, oops. It wasn't like attorney-client privilege, was it? Shit.
So TMZ has obtained a copy of an agreement they made in 2023, a secret settlement regarding their infamous sex tape that said the parties have agreed to enter this agreement addressing all past, current, or future claims, disputes, yada, yada, basically saying that they are not allowed to discuss or publicly talk about the sex tape. And this had Ray J's mother, Kim Kardashian's mother, all parties involved to agree that they would not disparage or impugn the character reputation, you know.
So it's like a mutual NDA.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, NDAs in general.
Yeah.
Don't really work. Not enforceable.
Yeah, no, they
effective.
Work.
Yeah.
No, they can move. I mean, okay. Look, they're, that's like saying, like, is a contract binding? It depends on the contract and how well it's constructed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was there's an issue of New York Magazine that the cover story was, I'm sure Matt will find it, of about NDAs in romantic relationships. And I was quoted in it extensively talking about clients I've done NDAs for. I didn't talk about them by name, but I talked about clients I've done NDAs for, both very famous ones and ones who would like to appear to be famous. So they like to present to a young woman I need you to sign this NDA before we begin dating. But I've had a number of clients who have me look over an NDA when they're on the market again, they're single, I did their divorce, and then they call me up and say, oh, can you look at this NDA that this person wanted me to sign? And often it's that, you know, you're dating an actress and she doesn't want you to be revealing to any third parties what medications she's on, because you might have access to her, you know, her cabinets where her medications are taken, or you would have knowledge of what cosmetic surgery procedures she had, or that she is a advertiser for this skincare system but doesn't actually use it and uses their competitor. So those are all, like, they have legitimate purposes, you know, that it would harm someone's personal or professional reputation. I've done them for athletes who were dating usually young women who, if they're in the middle of contract negotiations with their team or with other teams as a potential free agent, that if the girl they're dating overhears a conversation, that information could be very valuable. So they could call and say, yeah, he's thinking about going to this team or that team, or they could call TMZ. Anytime, it was funny when you said, according to TMZ, anytime somebody says, according to TMZ, my blood runs cold, because I cannot tell you how many times that's how I found out something was leaked in a case, was according to TMZ. And you're like, fuck, where do they get these people? But they really, TMZ does have a history of having really good people inside all kinds of places.
Well, that's kind of what's at the heart of this is, Ray J is saying that Kim and Chris have peddled this rumor that it was leaked against her will. Yeah. He's saying that's not the case. It was put out there willingly.
Yeah. And the way that the press and that celebrities trade in information is shocking. And it's something I learned about, I would say, about 10 years ago in my career. But it's much more common with celebrity, like actors, actresses, musicians, not so much with athletes, but the intersection between the two, because athletes date actors a lot, where people trade in information. Like I've had clients call me and say they're going to leak this story, which would be bad, so I'm going to give them this story instead, and they'll bury this other story. And you kind of go, wait, they'll do that? And they will. They'll do that. Like the,
it's the a whole
press,
economy.
The yeah. press will reach out and say, I'm going to tell this story unless you give me a better one. And they can be totally unrelated. Like, it's like, oh, I'm going to tell people that you slept with this rapper. And you're like, okay, what if I told you that this actress and I had a threesome with this person? And they're like, that would be a better story. We'll bury this story if you tell us that story and give us screenshots or proof of some kind. Like, this is how it works. This is the gutter press, man.
So in terms of being able to speak about it, not speak about it, Ray J said he was paid $6 million to not speak about it. He says, though,
God, no one ever pays me $6 million to not talk. Like, I get paid to talk, but I never get paid to not talk. Which is good because I'm better at talking than not talking, but it just feels like easy money.
Maybe you should go to the opposing counsel and be like, I'll throw this thing. I'll keep my mouth shut for $6 million.
I'm sleeping with Kim Kardashian. I'll be back.
Now, Ray J says, though, you guys have talked about the sex tape on your Hulu show. So that like voids this idea of we don't discuss it. Is there any validity to that?
Yeah, I mean, there's usually clauses within a contract that say that if one person violates it, that essentially like, you know, the non-disparagement clause, if you're responding to the disparagement of the other person. I mean, there are usually clauses about breach and what occurs in the event of a breach, because you can't use as a sword that which was meant to be a shield. So if the NDA's purpose was to prevent dissemination of this information and then you wrongfully disseminate that information. The problem with information is information is like ammunition. You know, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. But it's very hard to attribute it. Like, so, you know, very rarely does someone like Kim Kardashian leak information about Kim Kardashian. It's like, you know, very rarely does the Don of the mob family order a hit. Mm. You know, he makes clear to someone that someone else should make clear to someone that something needs to be addressed. And then someone way down the chain actually does the dirty work or actually lines it up. So there's like 3-4 layers between this person and what's occurred. So this is one of those things that whoever leaks information, it's usually not the person. That person has the ability to go, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't disseminate that to any third party. And then the question becomes is, are they guilty? Like, is it possible? Because it may be that like neither of these people actually leaked it. Someone in a law office leaked it. Someone in the copy shop leaked it. I mean, there's so many ways people intercept information after the hacks that happened with Sony many years ago. There was a ton of private confidential information in the emails that got hacked.
Well, I think the problem here, though, is that Vivid Pictures released it.
Yeah.
And they're saying there's no way that a production studio would release it unless people had signed off, yeah. Which does kind of make sense to me. I think Ray J's got them dead to rights in that regard.
Yeah, he probably does. He probably does.
But also, it's like, guys, just own it. Just be like, yeah, we did it. You know, I don't think the people care at this point.
This is a family
point,
that
they?
Loves to keep itself in the public eye and is constantly like they really are the embodiment of like all publicity is good publicity and whatever's going to keep them relevant in a time where they're increasingly less relevant. I think that it's almost ubiquitous. These, you know, the number of like, what do you do? I'm famous.
Yeah.
You know, like you got to take your hat off to the Kardashians. I was just having this conversation with someone the other day that like, talk about people that took essentially nothing and have turned it into like
multi-billion-dollar empire.
Brands that you cannot say they've not done. Like, look, I make fun of Kim Kardashian for that awful TV show. But and all the aspirations to be a lawyer and all the like, you know, I stubbed my toe and that's why I failed the bar again. Like that stuff I'm not into. But like you can't take away from these people that they've identified some great brand. They take a lot of shots on goal. And I have to tell you, like quite a few of them hit.
They are the best famous people ever. People say, what's their talent? Their talent is being famous. They know how
and
to do it.
Let me tell you something. The patriarch of that family. And again, I'm not like a genetics person. But he was a brilliant lawyer.
Sure.
He was a brilliant, successful lawyer. And so
why don't you have like a family reality show? You're a brilliant, successful lawyer. Maybe the Sexton family. Keeping Up with the Sextons.
Wow. Keeping Up with the Sextons.
We'll call it Sex Life.
Wow.
Oh.
Sex Life. I mean, this is why you get the big bucks.
Yeah.
I have to tell you that is who saw that
Netflix,
coming.
Netflix, let's go. Get on
the
phone.
Oh, my God.
Hulu.
And I could do like an equivalent of Skims. You know what I mean? Like for middle-aged white
dudes. We'll call them like your Jimmies.
Yeah.
Put on your Jimmies.
I like that. It could be for guys with, you know, like an enormous penis, and that just, like, minimizes it so you don't feel self-conscious.
Is that why? Yeah,
I mean, I struggle with it. We all have a cross to bear. And yeah, I mean, anything really. I think that's a really great idea. It's an excellent idea.
One of these days, Matt, we're just gonna wear him down until he agrees to do reality TV. Because my God, people would watch.
You could take a cattle prod to me and my loved ones, and I still would not.
That'll be on the show. That'll be episode one.
Episode three. Absolutely.
You're this thing.
This is writing itself. Yeah. Okay. All right. Listen, I'm in. Can we do that like sound when something happens? Like, Matt, can you do all those sound effects? Oh my God. That'd be so good. All right. You know what? These never say never.
Okay. If there's one man on the internet that maybe I would go to for relationship advice over James Sexton,
wow,
it's Clavicular.
Obviously.
You can't take offense to that.
Where do you think I get my stuff from? I'm constantly, sometimes in the middle of the show, Matt's great. He cuts things because I'll just go, I got to text Clavicular. And then I'll text him. I'll be like, what is an ontological justification for men's existential dilemma? And I'll wait 30 seconds later, he'll come back with it. And I'm like, shit, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I do it sometimes in court. I'll be like, objection, basis. Give me 1 second.
Clavicular says.
And he's like, Your Honor, this witness is raising my cortisol levels and evidence mogging me.
I'm objection maxing.
Yeah, I'm objection maxing because I'm being evidence mogged right now and it is really raising my cortisol levels, Your Honor. Hang on 1 second.
He's everywhere right
now.
He's
everywhere right now. Isn't he like 23,
He's
by the
a
way?
Baby, dude.
He's a kid, man.
So within a matter of a week, he got slapped by that girl who he says he's going to sue.
Yep.
He has a guy who came out and said, my wife cheated on you live on your stream. He emptied a clip into a possibly alive, but maybe dead alligator down in the Everglades. He just boom, 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 which I guess is illegal.
That alligator had a gun, though. So that was self-defense.
That was self-defense, yes.
Allegedly.
That was stand your ground in the Everglades.
Pretty much. You have the right.
And then this clip was, he was on a stream with DJ Academics where this is Clav's advice if you get caught cheating.
Your girl
or like infidelity stuff.
Yeah,
right?
If your girl catches you cheating, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again, whatever. That's going to make your girl leave you in a second. But if you just say, well, it is what it is. You know, if you don't like it, then you could leave. That'll get you a lot further. You know, it might not work. You know, the girl might still leave.
Yeah, she might still leave. Yeah,
she might still leave, but that's going to give you the best chance.
That is pretty good. Like, you're like, listen, here's what it is. It might not work, but that's what
I would do.
Here's what I will tell you. The temerity of this 23-year-old male equivalent of a bimbo fucking lecturing DJ Academics.
But wait, let me interrupt you. He's 20, not even 23. He can't go to the club. I don't even know how he gets in these places.
He's 20 years old and he's giving relationship advice. Like, I think that is incredible. By the way, based on what?
Well, I will push back because he didn't really give relationship advice. He gave cheating advice.
Cheating is a relationship. I would imagine
he is an expert in how to handle girls finding out that you fucked other girls.
What I would say is I do actually think he has a point, which is I think groveling brings out contempt in another person often.
Interesting.
And it certainly is an admission of guilt. And that's not always a good idea. You know, the old saying in the law is if you don't talk, you walk.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think going the other way with it of like, you know, okay, well, I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. Like, first of all, it is what it is one of those sentences that it just sounds like you said something, but you didn't. Mm-hmm. So
it's the ultimate, man.
Yeah, I don't really find that to be...
Have you ever used that in court, Your Honor?
It is what it is.
No, never.
Listen, guys, it is what it is. No, so, you know, like, I... Yeah, I mean, my client may or may not have done that thing. If he did, he did. If he didn't, he did not. I think that's what it comes down to, Your Honor. I think I can't be more clear. You know, like that's, I mean, I've said weirder shit than that in court because sometimes you just, you know, you got to call an audible.
What do you think is your worst argument you've ever made where you're like, I'm dead to rights, but I got to throw a Hail Mary? Does anything stick out
Christ.
Or you're just like,
I mean, that's happened so many times.
Really?
gosh. Wow. I like the greatest hits in my head of just Jim flailing in court. But like not confidently flailing.
I was going to say, I bet you like, other people didn't realize you're flailing. Maybe you knew it, but like.
You know, I do a lot of the, I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Your Honor, that I'm not going to dignify that. You know what, Your Honor? Here's one. Here's the trade secret. If you ever hear me say this one in court, I'm flailing. Is it? Your Honor, counsel would like us to get bogged down in minutia. But I'm those details. I'm not going to take the bait, okay? Counsel's argument is novel. And I use the term novel, Your Honor, because I'm a gentleman. But I am not going to get bogged down in minutia. I'm not going to go. I used that so many times here, that a group of my associates once were made I was being honored. The New York State Hospice Association nominated me for like Hospice Volunteer of the Year. And all of my associates, I think I had 7 associates at the time. And they all came to the dinner and they bought an ad in the journal, the commemorative journal, and they made it that they were a boy band and that the band, I forget what the name of the band was, but it was like, it was a boy band and their songs were Sextonisms.
Oh, it's
so
amazing.
So it was like Fish Out of Water. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Bogged Down in Minutia. And it really was like they had, I'll have to find it sometime. It was
that's
amazing.
One where you put in parentheses, bogged down,
yeah.
In minutia.
In
minutia. That's the title.
My heart's been bogged down in minutia since you left me, baby. Because I would say it so often. It'd be like, you're not, I'm not going to get bogged down in minutia. Counsel would like, you know,
fantastic.
Counsel would like to just throw a red herring here and just have us detract, you know, take our eye off the ball, Your Honor. But we're here to talk about one thing, and it's not that thing. It's literally anything but that thing. Please, Judge, because that sucks for my client. Yeah, so
yeah, that's the liar liar. Why do you object?
Because it's devastating my case. Yeah, we've all had that moment. And you know what's more awful is when your client hasn't told you something really important. Mm-hmm. And it comes up in court and you have to, like, in front of the judge, react to it. So I've had like the
how often do clients lie to you? Or not lie, but, you know, maybe omit, or yeah, they're embarrassed or shameful.
The
or...
most dangerous lies are the ones they tell themselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, clients fail to advise you of relevant information pretty often, to the point where I really lecture people the first time I meet them, and when start working with them, I really drive home that, like, you have to be candid with me, like, yeah, brutally honest with me. If there's any thought in your mind, should I tell Jem this? The answer is yes, because mm-hmm. I'd rather know it, not need it, than need it, not know it. So you mm-hmm. have to tell me everything. The two people you should never lie to, either actively or by, like, an affirmative misrepresentation or by an omission, are your doctor and your lawyer, because we just need to know. Like, even if you say to your doctor, I sometimes take Tylenol. Is that going to counteract with this medication? What's the worst thing that's going to happen? He's going to say, you don't know, that is nothing. It's a foot cream. It's not going to affect Tylenol. It's not going to affect it. But God forbid the answer is, oh yeah, no, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to be brutally honest with yourself and with us. But that's why I've always said the most dangerous lies are the ones we tell ourselves. People don't admit to themselves the things they don't want to see, and therefore they don't tell you about it because they're not, it's not in their line of sight. It's their blind spot, and it's a blind spot because they can't f-ing see it.
All right, this next topic is for our fans across the pond.
For the fans across the pond, I do have UK publishing of the book.
So and shout out to, not even just across the pond, but worldwide. Oddly enough, our audience is like 50-50, America, rest of the world. So a lot of people all over the world
are
listening
to Jen. I'm huge in Bulgaria. I actually am. My book was published in Bulgaria. And it's quite a lot of
specifically Bulgaria, wow.
Specifically Bulgarian. It's been translated into Bulgarian.
Reason,
I'll send Matt the cover.
Any reason as to why, or just like...
Because it's a great book. What do you mean?
Bulgarians have great taste?
Wow. No. I don't know. Maybe because Bulgarians aren't watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and instead they're reading high-quality relationship books. Wow. Why is it popular? I don't know. Why is it popular?
That's it, right? That's funny.
Your guy speaks to me. It's unbelievable.
Just start.
I'll tell you
for me,
right
monkey
now,
dance.
When I get 100,000 subscribers, there's some changes. There's going to be some changes.
That's
there's
my plaque. Be some,
no, you get no plaque.
No, I know what we're doing.
No plaque
you know what
for
we're doing?
You.
We're taking out the chainsaw. We're cutting it in thirds.
We're cutting Wow. You're going to equitably distribute the plaque, and you're going to take that from me. Okay, that's great. Super.
Beat you at your own game, Jim.
Okay. All right.
So this is Bradley Dack, who is a soccer player who's also on Love Island, along with Olivia Atwood.
Dude, he looks cool.
Yeah, that I mean that
throat tats and
this is the guy who she.
That's a little too manicured. The
beard is
the beard.
Too
it's too
pretty.
Yeah, it's
He's
too
pretty.
Precise.
So,
but if he did the beard a little more, whatever, with the throat tats and the long hair, that's badass.
Keep it in your pants, Sexton. Jesus Christ.
You know what? That's really not cool. Okay, I never used to like broccoli. Now I love it. Who knows? Do the second half.
Flip over the menu. You know?
Yeah, flip the menu.
So. These are people on Love Island UK. One's a soccer player. Long story short, Olivia Atwood is seen in public kissing Pete Wicks. And the reason why what I want to talk about here is Pete Wicks was the long-term friend. The very, I believe, stereotypical, you don't have to worry about him. You know, we're just friends. We're just I'm friends. Sure he said we're probably, he's like a brother to me.
Like a brother to me.
Something like that. Now they get caught kissing in
canoodling.
Public. Yep. And then he comes out the next day.
Snogging.
And, yeah, that's what they say, because it's all over.
Yeah, they love that. Snogging in the valet line.
And he came out directly after that went viral and just clarified to the public, I'm still single. So just like, haymaker, wow. You know, you get caught cheating and then the guy wants to, the whole world to know we're not actually together.
Oh, shit.
But your thoughts on the old, you know, it's always the one that they tell you not to worry about, right? That's a pretty, I would imagine that's a true cliche.
Yeah, it's a true cliche. I mean, I think, you know, your spider sense, you should probably trust it. You know, if something in you is saying, hey, I mean, as someone who has a number of female friends with whom I have never had a romantic relationship, or a number of female friends with whom at some point I had a romantic relationship and now just have a friendship with, I know it is possible. Like, I know it is something that is doable, especially too if it ended on sort of mutually acceptable terms, because if they wanted to still be with this person, they would be. If somebody like got broken up with and now they're still trying to be friends with this person, there might be more sense to the concept. But yeah, I mean, look, I think you have to be really candid with your partner about like what makes you uncomfortable. And hopefully, you know, that's not presented in the form of an ultimatum of I don't want you speaking to this person again. I think it has to be more about what can you do, if anything, to help me with that? Like, if you don't want a person you're in a romantic relationship with to feel uncomfortable, so it's not their job to make you comfortable, but it certainly should be something that they would like to do. There are going to be things that, you know, make them uncomfortable. And you know, you might want to say, look, I want to be of service to that. If there's something I'm doing that's making you uncomfortable, I want you to share it with me. I'm not going to hear it in a defensive way. And I'm going to try to see if we can come up with a mutually acceptable solution on how I can mitigate the impact of it or eliminate it entirely. I think in this situation, yeah, you know, male-female friendships have always been a little bit fraught. I think that, you know, there's especially among like attractive people who, you know, they it's not unreasonable for either of those people to be someone who someone might look at with, you know, desire. But, you know, I do think there is such a thing as having platonic friendships. And I don't have a problem with, you know, a romantic partner having friendships with their preferred, you know, gender group. You know, I don't know. I just don't. I think if people want to cheat on you, they're going to cheat on you.
Yeah, I feel like it's not that like, I think that there's probably some level of attraction.
Yeah.
In every male-female dynamic. It's just whether you can control it and handle it, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think also
to say that you have
like,
no attraction to anyone is not realistic.
Yeah, I think you also have to look at the nature of the friendship. Like, I one of my dearest friends, Amy, we were friends in college, and then she got married, and she's been married for, I think, almost 30 years now. And her husband has, of course, become a very dear friend to me. But she and I were the original friendship. Now, he and I spend a lot of time together as friends. I spend a lot of time with them as a couple. But I don't think there's anything sort of odd about, you know, having a friendship with a member of the opposite sex, especially if you've integrated their romantic partner into your friendship. Like that's perfectly okay. Like, I don't think you have to spend time with them with their romantic partner, because, you know, what I would say is, for example, Amy's a great example. When we would first spend time together, I always felt a little badly for Chris, because he didn't know these people that we were talking about. Like, oh, remember in my dorm room when this? Oh my God, remember when Sebastian did that? And he doesn't know who these people are. And we want to reminisce and laugh and tell funny stories about when we were young, but we don't want him to feel excluded. So we felt like we have to explain these stories that are like not really going to be interesting to anyone but the two of us. So there's a universe where it could have just been like, okay, why don't you guys just like reminisce and hang out together? And there's nothing going to come of that. I'm respectful to the relationship. We're respectful of each other. Like, if you love someone as a friend, you want their relationship to be happy and successful. So why would you be threatened by that? But again, I think it's a case by case basis. I don't think there's any broad based rules. I know a lot of people, including my buddy, the Zona guy. He's out there. Shout out to Zona. The best hiring decision I ever made, to not hire him, if you haven't seen the interview. But I will tell you, he did a whole thing about this, about like, watch out for women that are friends with their exes or friends with other men. And that's a younger man's perspective on it, but I can't say that it's 100% wrong. I just think that broad-based rules of that kind can be dangerous.
We're wrapping up on a topic that I saw, and now you got to see too, Jim, because I got to share in the burden on this one.
Oh, boy.
70-year-old Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, we're off to a bad start already.
Says that after.
If this is like a Whoopi Goldberg sex tape, I'm leaving. It's not even worth $100,000. I'm out.
We're one rung below it, man. After three divorces, she says her sex life now consists of, quote, hit and runs, and she needs it. She says her direct quote was, I don't want to live with anybody. I have lots of people that I love. I don't need them living with me. I don't need them sleeping with me. And then she says, I've always had great sex. I just wasn't happy. And now I bar hop, I go hang, and I do hit and runs. Ugh.
I mean, I guess what I'll say is the following.
Get it, girl.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, f*** that. How old is she?
70. Dude. To all be getting hit and runs at 70
years,
you know?
Old. What is she going to husband somebody up?
Yeah.
She's going to be like, oh, yeah, I want to move this person. And like, have a good time. Whoopi. I mean, it's a little funny because if a 70-year-old dude was like, yeah, I just want to hit it and quit it these days. I don't want to have to deal with some woman. Everyone would be like, you're a cad. You're horrible. But like, I think realistically, good for you.
Yeah.
Listen, you're 70 years old. You want to go out there, have fun, get yourself laid, knock yourself out. Like, if I'm got Whoopi Goldberg money, if I got the View money, and I'm an EGOT, you know, mm-hmm. winner like she is, a multi-talent person. Yo, get yourself a little boy toy. Have fun. Take him on vacation. Make him sleep in a different fucking cabana. Put him in like a low tier cabana. You stay in the upper. Knock yourself out. You've earned it. Have yourself a good old time. But by the way, gender wise, I think it's good for anybody. I think if there's a 70-year-old guy out there who does the same thing, like have yourself a good old time. Whatever. I don't know. As long as it's eyes open. You know, I don't think anybody who starts dating a 70-year-old woman is going to be like, but I thought we'd be together forever. Like, what does forever mean at that point? I wouldn't buy f-ing green bananas at that stage. Like, so I don't know. Like that, okay, I wanted to really live out your nursing home years with you. Like, I think it's fine. Have fun. Knock yourself out.
If everybody could still be getting laid at 70 years old and having control of their own life.
I'd be worried about breaking a hip or something.
Yeah,
I think
for real.
That's like, that sounds like a lot of cardio, and I don't really, but you know what? She's taken care of herself over the years and she looks good. I mean, listen, Whoopi Goldberg's black don't crack, man. I'm telling you, like she's kept it together. I don't think she's done a lot of weird stuff to her face. She's a funny comedian back in the day. If you ever watch her old stuff, I don't love some of her politics, and I think sometimes she's way off base. But I did The View, and I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. About 2 years ago, I did.
Whoopi Goldberg propositioned you to be one of her hit and runs?
Wow. I mean,
you've already been in bed with Gloria Altman. So
Gloria Steinem. Gloria Altman. That's a colleague. That's not nice. I've never been honored with that. No, I would say I would have to decline that invitation. I think that Whoopi and I are probably not. Yeah, I think she could do better. That was what I would say. I would say I think Whoopi could do better. Whoopi's got Whoopi money. She could do much better than a 50-something-year-old dude. Yeah. I'm going to throw her to Matt. I'm be like, Matt, you're my stunt from now on. Get in there.
This man said stunt. I'll tell you what, it's probably, if you were Jim Sexton's stunt, you'd probably be doing pretty good.
Because
I'm
right.
Telling you, the competency you porn,
yeah,
the girls
the comments,
are.
Please, Matt, yeah. I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to be like, you know what? Actually, that sounds great because I could just do like the charming part and then you could do the actual.
I really
would like to just go to bed early. You know?
Yeah. This is a warped version of Entourage. He's Vinny Chase. You know, Turtle can get some of the runoff.
You know, I just am honored I got to be Vinny Chase in that story because I'm usually that, what was his name? The really responsible friend who's like becomes an agent.
Yeah, you're E?
I'm usually E. Yeah,
so you got to be Vinny.
When I used to go to Brazil with big group of friends every year, they used to call me Papa Smurf. And they actually bought me a Papa Smurf t-shirt after one trip because I was always the one who was like, no, don't talk to that girl. No, go over here. Casey, get over here. Do not do that. Where are you doing? No, don't leave with her. You come over here. And that really was like the one who
Mother
was in
Goose.
Charge. So
yeah.
It would be really cool to be able to be like the irresponsible, ignorant one who takes up with porn stars.
What do you think is the most irresponsible you've ever been? Have you ever?
Oh, have you seen my number of tattoos
okay, yes.
I have?
But
have
you ever like raged, partied, made horrible decisions?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
God, I can't picture it.
Because in this iteration, but
yeah.
Oh, believe me. I've got, thank God there weren't cell phones around in the 90s and early 2000s.
Any fights?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like street fight, bar fight type stuff? Yeah,
street fights, bar fights.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple people. A Rage Against the Machine show, I literally smashed someone's nose in. There's a story about like the rocket of blood that shot across a room. Yeah, it was.
We need to do like Sexton After Dark. Oh, there's a lot. You just some tell people, stories.
Yeah, some people bust out stories of my younger days. I the tattoos is all I have left to show for it. But I did some crazy shit. I've tried a lot of drugs. I had a lot of fun. And then I got it together. And when I got it together, here's what I'll tell you. Everything in moderation, including moderation. And, you know, if you haven't joined the revolution by the time you're 20, you have no heart. And if you haven't sold out by the time you're 30, you have no brain. Mm. So I think you have to, you know, the path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. And
these are bars left and right, man.
I wouldn't like any life other than my own. But I do think, you know, Jim Morrison in An American Prayer said it well, which is, you know, did you have a good world when you died? Was it enough to make a movie of? Mm. And what I would say is if you made a movie of my life, it would have to be a 2 or 3 part Netflix series. And the first couple parts would be for mature audiences only. That's going to do it for today's Better Call Sexton. Thanks for joining us. Remember to hit like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Really does help the channel. We are so close to getting that plaque, 100,000 subscribers. Please, please, please help us make it happen. Get in there and subscribe. It really does mean a lot. Also, remember to check us out on Instagram at NYC Divorce Lawyer. But for now, we're adjourned.